Okay, cool. Well, then let's start. And welcome. Oh, what? Huh?
Oh, what? Breaking news. Breaking news.
Wait, I didn't do the opening yet. And welcome
to the show.
All right. This is already starting off to be a great show. And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, what's up, wild world out there?
And Shane Manila.
Is the NFL draft still going on?
I don't know.
When is it?
It seems like everybody's wasted, tired, and the way everybody's talking. And it looks like we just had one of our guests pop in on the screen. But, yeah, what did you guys do for the draft this weekend? Shane, you already look like you want to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah, I had an exciting time. So Thursday night we did me and a couple of the guys from the site, we wrote up every offensive skill position player that was picked in the first round as it happened, and then published, and we added an IDP player. So that was oh my God.
Wait, wow. What the hell? Wait. Hold on. You just blew past that. You did IDP players?
No, I didn't.
That's better. I didn't think so.
No. One of our guys did. I don't even remember who was on the team at this point. Like, I was so bleary-eyed by the end of it. So we put out, I don't know, 8 reaction pieces, something like that, in the span of about 3 hours that we created from fucking scratch, from, like, whole cloth. It was, like, magical, religious, Jesus-type shit. Like, we were just raising it from the dead. Then I jumped on the Fantasy Joe's podcast at what felt like, I think it was like midnight, did that till about 2:00. And Friday night, jumped on some podcasts, did some more writing. And then Saturday I went out and had to socialize with other human beings, which was weird.
Were you looking at your phone or anything while you were socializing?
Well, yeah, obviously.
I figured you would. Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, of course. I mean, socializing.
Man, that sounds exciting, dude. What an exciting weekend.
It was, I tell you what, I was exhausted. And so I'm going to go to bed during the show.
All right, cool. Yeah, and I just figured there's no way you were not paying attention to the draft while you were socializing. You know, we were going to do the show and get started and then have our guests, but it looks like one of our guests popped into the room just now while we were talking. And we got Mike Fanaro here from the Rookie Fever podcast. Hey.
What's up, man? What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Great. For you, this must have been a big, huge weekend. And I know you were there, actually, at the draft, right?
I was, yeah, 4th year in a row I went.
That's awesome. So what did you guys do while you were there? Were you out in that big mob of street people?
What's that?
Were you out there with the big mob of people out in the street?
No, I actually didn't understand that mob, to be quite honest. That's not where the draft was taking place. There's an outdoor stage at every one of these events, and all of them are different. But this outdoor stage is where everyone flocked to up and down Broadway. And it was odd to me because you really couldn't see anything. It was kind of like Times Square, you know? It was kind of crazy that everyone's there. Jason and I from Capology jumped in to, oh my God, there was probably 8 to 12 bars that had 5 floors with, like, probably, I don't know, 5 to 600 people per floor with rooftop bars. It was a really good vantage point, to be quite honest. You were up high. And you were kind of chilling off the roof and still watching the same thing they were from the ground. The draft itself was actually behind all of that, across the bridge on the other side. So it was a little odd to me that they were all congregating right at that point. But
and that's pretty much what they showed on TV. That's what it looked like everybody was doing.
It was impressive. It was impressive.
Yeah, it looked like it went on for like a mile on TV. Yeah. It was crazy.
Did you guys broadcast from there while you were out there?
We tried once, and then we probably got a little too drunk to be able to do it responsibly.
That's cool.
We got there on Thursday at 6:30 a.m., so we got an early start. And then it took a little while to kind of navigate around the whole venue itself. And then once we figured it all out, we kind of settled down. And by then, we were a good 8 or 9 hours in. So it was kind of one of those things where it was just like we wanted to sit down and enjoy it.
Cool. Are you guys having a big episode this week to recap and all that, or have you already recorded that?
We had one of your guests tonight, Katie Flower, on just last night.
Oh, so you already did it last night. Oh, cool.
Yeah. We had an episode last night. I jumped on with Capology Saturday night. So this is my third one in a row.
Yeah, and you mentioned that we'll
when
have
you
Katie.
Do three in one day, I want you to call me, man. Tell me how you feel. That's if you're sweet. Tired or rejuvenated. It just takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, I bet.
You mentioned that we were going to have Katie later. Jeremy, why don't you tell everybody what we're doing tonight?
Well, after meeting and having a good time with the Rookie Fever guys and getting fully amped up about this rookie draft with the little energy that we still have from this past weekend, we're doing a Superflex rookie mock draft with seven other people. So the Rookie Fever guys, those two, the three of us, and seven other people. So 12 individuals making 12 different picks in this Superflex rookie mock draft. So should go pretty fast and should be really fun.
Man, this seems a lot like an orgy, like how an orgy seems like a really good idea. And then you're just like, oh, there's too many hands. I have no idea what I just touched.
Oh, God. Yeah, and we're not even sure exactly if we can get all 12 in the same room at the same time, but we'll find out. So, Shane,
it's not all going to fit.
Oh, jeez.
So, Shane, you
all night with these analogies.
Oh, my God. Shane, you mentioned when we were trying to start the show that we had some news, and our news is always brought to you by RotoSurance.com. And put in the code Dynasty Trades HQ all in caps and get your discount. What was your news, Shane?
Yeah, well, I just, you know, it might have just slipped past everyone because they were so focused on the draft. But Sports Illustrated put out an article last night saying that Tyreek Hill could be placed on the commissioner's exempted list as soon as this week. And basically, that's their timeout room before they suspend your ass.
Good.
So yeah, it's looking pretty bad for Tyreek Hill. I think the last time we came on was prior to the tape coming out of him basically threatening his fiance and talking about how he beats on his son. So yeah, hopefully he gets suspended for life because that dude truly does not belong. He had a second chance, so he gone. I'd expect him to go on that list sometime this week and
good.
Hopefully to prison shortly after.
I hope so too.
And then Doug Baldwin. Apparently might not be able to ever play again. That happened fast, huh? Adam Schefter reported, I think on Saturday, the days all blend together, that due to his injuries, that they don't know if he's going to be able to play again or not. So that's sad.
That news came out faster than a DK Metcalf 40-yard dash.
I want to go back to the Tyreek thing for just a second. Because I want to ask your opinion, because a lot of people keep saying about how, or actually I'll ask Michael Fenaro's opinion. You know, if he's never going to play, which he should never be able to play again. And then people were talking about, oh, now maybe Sammy can. But everybody was talking about the wide receiver that they drafted, that he's going to step up and be the guy.
Hardman, he's going to be so overdrafted. People, as soon as he was picked up in the draft, I was listening to all the news, not all the news, but all the analysis afterward, and it was like, this guy is Tyreek Hill. So everyone is going to draft him like he is Tyreek Hill. We all assume that Tyreek Hill is not going to play for the Chiefs this year, so they're looking for that piece. He returns punts just like Tyreek Hill. He's got blazing speed like this Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill was an anomaly at his size, and I think he's just going to get super overdrafted. He's going to be a first round wide receiver probably in rookie drafts that aren't super flex, and I just don't think he belongs there. A lot of people who do this very, very well didn't even really know who that guy was, or they were so deep on their list that it was one of those things where it was kind of like, huh? And I think he's just going to get overdrafted because of his spot.
So looking at Mecole Hardman's stats, he put up 961 yards on 60 receptions, 11 touchdowns, 97 rushing yards on 13 attempts. That's not bad. Unfortunately, that's over three fucking seasons. He was more productive than Riley Ridley, I guess. So there's that, right?
You know, we spent months talking about this draft and about how we're not that thrilled, and everybody was saying that so many things are all over the place and you just don't know. Now that everybody got all their landing spots, what spots did you like and which spots did you hate? I mean, I guess we could go around everybody, but Michael, what for you guys, yeah, for Rookie Fever, what were the surprises?
Who didn't love Harry going to the Patriots?
Right.
I mean, that
he was
one,
drafted
that,
in the first round was good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a perfect spot. I mean, he couldn't have landed in a better spot, and the Patriots just pissed me off with this stuff. I mean, Patriots and the Eagles were in the Super Bowl 2 just 2 years ago, and they have like one of maybe the top five drafts in my opinion. The two teams, like, I mean, that if you keep going, I mean, we're not talking about just their first round picks. Eagles protecting Wentz and then going and getting their own wide receiver, who I love, J.C. Arcega-Whiteside. I mean, I feel like, and then Sanders, who I also just love. It's one of those things where I think Harry is obviously the 101.
Wait, Mike, but how'd the Giants do? I missed that.
Oh, good God.
So listen, man.
I've been a Giants fan my whole life, and you all can laugh about it because it's going to be like about 1 week of news for you. I'm going to live this for the next 3 to 6 years.
You won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
This is. I mean, everything they were doing leading up to their number six pick was disaster. I mean, you have Odell Beckham, one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the entire league, gone. Safety, one of the best in the league, gone. And then we'll just go, let's just draft a quarterback that no one thought would go at six. And it's just I would have been fine at 17 if that was really their guy. I would have loved Josh Allen there at six. Or honestly, I was kind of pulling a little bit for that Rosen trade. I would have been happy with giving up a second round pick.
Yeah,
that would have been a good pick.
I was happy with it for the Dolphins. But yeah, Shane, so he was mentioning all your Eagles. I'm sure you were thrilled.
I mean, I don't want to.
I'm jelly.
So Saturday night, I guess I came home after the socialization with humans. And or was that Friday night? I don't even know. All the days blend together. But I did write an article about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Miles Sanders landing with the Eagles. And quite honestly, I didn't know enough about Arcega-Whiteside to make an educated or give an educated opinion until they drafted him. And then, you know, of course, I dove in. And yeah, I mean, basically, yeah,
I love him.
He seems like an Alshon clone. And then Miles Sanders is the RB2 of this class. And you could make an argument for the RB1, to be quite honest with you. Great landing spot for him, great landing spot for David Montgomery. Which it's funny, he fell out of the first round in drafts and then he jumped back up. Great landing spot for Josh Jacobs. Like the early running backs, the three running backs that you wanted to get really good landing spots did. And then of course there was Henderson, who went in the third round to the Rams, which is a little Todd Gurley, I thought your knees were okay, buddy.
The best part of that was you tweeted out something, sell your Gurley shares now. And then like all these people were reacting to your tweet. And you're like, calm down, people. I was kidding.
That way too literally.
Yeah.
You got slammed.
I was on a podcast when I tweeted it. So, you know, I tweeted it. And then about 10 minutes later, I came back and people were basically telling me that my mom should have had an abortion because, you know, I just wasn't that bright in so many words. And I'm just like, guys, like it's tongue in cheek. It's Twitter. It's fun. Like, I'm not putting, you know, it's just a fun thought. But that said, the fact that they did invest a third round draft pick on a running back is a little disconcerting if you're a Gurley owner.
Yeah. I think somebody just pop in? Who's?
I think they did.
Somebody popped in and used like AOL.
Swag.
Hell yeah. I got the AOL direct tonight.
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks for dialing up, buddy. We appreciate you being here.
I had him install the AOL just for this evening.
Nice. Well,
yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Jeremy. Hell yeah. I'm excited.
Been a long time, Swags.
So how about you? Now that you've popped in here, why don't you tell us your reaction to some of the landing spots and some of the players you like? We have a second Shane in the room now.
Are we
that's my co-host.
Yeah, we've been recording for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought we were starting at 9:30.
No. Did you show up when you want to show up?
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's fine.
Starting the mock draft at 9:30, buddy.
Oh, well, shoot. Did I swear?
Hey, you can swear all you want.
No,
I'll edit it. It's fine.
So I was going to get him out of the way before we record, and then I hop right on. And
you could swear all you want. I'll edit it out. It's no worries. So, yes, it's the other.
I'm an angel, Mr. Sipes.
So, hey, so we're happy to have you whatever time you want to pop in. Like we said, we have a second Shane in the room now. We have Michael Fanaro's partner from the Rookie Fever podcast. So, Shane, why don't you tell us about you for your draft? Who did you like? Who did you not like?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so I'm I mean, I'm sure you guys have started some rookie drafts here and there too. And so I was thinking about it today, and like, I'm not answering your question directly, but like that top five, that I have a 3, 4, and 5 right now. And I'm super stoked about it because whoever falls to me right there, like the 101 is gone and they took Kyler Murray, and we're sitting on the guy that's putting his kids to bed. Guessing he's taking Jacobs. And after that, I mean, I'm happy taking Haskins, Harry, and Miles Sanders. Like, I'm totally happy with that for me right there and the way my team's sitting. I don't think there's that, like, strong, like, there's not the Barkleys or even, for me, the Chubbs or we'll have to see what happens with Geis. Who knows? But there's not those guys, like, those clear, like, studs that you're after. But I think, like, that consensus is pretty, like, solid, give or take. And you're still going to be happy. You're going to have a contributor on your team. Like, I don't know, Shane, like, you're the Philly guy here. Like, how are you feeling about Miles Sanders?
So you again, came on late. So I'm just going to keep mentioning that.
You were here early. You guys are just overachievers.
We did discuss fair. That, though. And just so everyone's aware, every running back that people keep mentioning as being an impediment to him getting a full workload, Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, Josh Adams.
Jordan Howard.
You don't even know their
Jordan
names.
Howard. Jordan Howard. Team, so yeah, don't care. I don't need to know their names because their contracts right. all expire.
Yeah, then he says all their names. The season. Pretty funny, huh? He says yeah. every one of them. He doesn't say like, the best two and then those other guys. He literally names every one of them in random.
Well, because the point is all four of them, their contracts expire at the end of this season. So the Eagles will let them go away. You know, I'm sure they'll keep one or two of them because you can't have just one running back on the team. That doesn't go well. And for, I guess maybe Clement would be my choice, but it really doesn't matter because we back up. But all four of those guys are free agents after this season. So this is Sanders' show. And honestly, I don't think all four of those guys even make the roster because you can't carry five running backs.
How cool is it that both Penn State running backs are in the same division?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I prefer and wish that it were the other way around that we had Saquon. But,
that's all I got. That's all I got, Shane. Come on.
Well, Jeremy, you did mention that you didn't get to you yet. And so before we do start bringing in all of our guests to do the mock draft, what did you like in this draft?
Man, I'll tell you, I really like N'Keal Harry being taken in the first round. Great capital that he went to the New England Patriots. I kind of laugh when people talk about Harry as just an outside receiver. Oh, Tom Brady can't even throw it that far anymore. We see what quarterbacks do with receivers like, say, Michael Thomas for the Saints. I know it's a bit of a different offense, but what Michael Thomas does catching the ball less than 20 yards all day long, you know, I think they can do the same thing with Harry because he can play a bit outside and inside and use him in the slot and still kind of move him around and get him, you know, on target from Brady. I love that spot for him based on his short area quickness. So that was a good one. No surprise Kyler Murray went first overall, but some of the lower, some of the guys that I like to find every year, like Deontay Johnson from Toledo, going to Pittsburgh was a great place. They make wide receivers there. That was a perfect place, an opportunity for him. And Terry McLaurin going to catch passes from, you know, his fellow Ohio State Buckeye, Dwayne Haskins in Washington. I thought Haskins in Washington was ideal too. The offense that Jay Gruden runs there is a perfect fit for Haskins, and I think he can play early. So some of this stuff, you know, not too surprising. The running backs, I still, you know, I'm not sure. I think, you know, San Francisco could have done something different there. I do like what Buffalo did with Singletary, and the Rams have a really good backup too. I think Shane mentioned that just a little bit earlier. Those two stand out because those running backs were kind of dropped down draft boards, and maybe they still are hovering there a little bit. They rose a bit, but I think those are good places for those guys to be as far as fit. So there's a lot to be encouraged about. I'm glad most of my rookie drafts are after the NFL draft this year. I know we complain about that a lot. Like, man, those early drafts, we can use our Devy research to our advantage, but this year, I'm glad it was after because those landing spots made a big difference, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And we've talked about that so much about once this draft happened, we'd be able to rank everything. Now, we do have a lot of people that are ready to go. Even Katie just sent us a message. And Shane, I wanted to ask you about AJ Brown. And we still had some stuff with Shane and Michael. So why don't we hear from the Scouting Academy, do our mock draft. And then after everybody leaves the mock draft, Mike and Shane, you want to stick around? We'll talk a little bit more before we wrap up.
Sure, man.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll stay. I know you'll stay, even though you've been complaining all night. But all right, let's hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So real quick, you know, a graduate of the Scouting Academy is Paul Perducci.
Okay.
From Saturday to Sunday. We've actually had him on the show before.
Yes.
Remember that, Mike?
Yes, I do.
A couple weeks ago. I know. That. It's late, so you're sundowning, so I understand. But
you're the one falling asleep. I'm wide the fuck awake.
I think he actually hit on 25 of 32 picks in the first round.
Seriously?
Really?
Yes. Wow. And overall, I think his ratio was like, I don't know, it was ridiculous. He was talking about it. Someone asked him about it. Like, overall, I think he only missed like 14 players that didn't end up getting drafted. So go to Scouting Academy and maybe you can learn how to know who the hell is going to be drafted, because I'm not going to lie to you. During the draft, I had to start looking people up like, who the fuck is this guy? Seriously?
Yeah, I think that's the best ad for the Scouting Academy. We're going to do a super flex rookie mock draft, and we're attempting to get people in the room. Oh, we got somebody else just popped up. Oh, it's Dabari.
Jesus Christ.
The guy who was supposed to be our new co-host, and then he decided not to be.
Yeah, he bailed, then he quit.
Wow. Quit bringing that shit off. God, dude.
Awkward. So listen, we're gonna just roll with this, and whoever's in the room will get it going. So with the 1.01, Shane, you are on the clock.
So being that it's a super flex draft, I'm making the only pick you can make, and that's Kyler Murray.
You don't Arizona. Even know his freaking name.
Did
come
you
on.
Just start saying Murray?
Yeah, I'm like, I think I'm the only
Shane
one.
Shane has trouble with words. Just words. He knows the player.
I was trying to think of what his middle name is, but I couldn't.
So that was like an attempt to be funny? Is that what
No, I literally do not know. I was going to say his middle name, but I blanked out on his middle name. My apologies. Kyler Murray, 101. Super flex.
I like Kevin's response.
He's the best quarterback in the class, etc. I don't think I need to sell anyone on Kyler Murray in this class.
No, you got the easy pick in this draft. So,
how did you get the 101 anyway?
His
I have no
team
idea.
Sucks. Shane basically, haven't you listened to their show? He steals whatever picks he wants. I mean, every time they do a mock draft, he takes whichever ones he wants.
Well, not tonight. So, Jeremy, you're the 102, and you're on the clock.
N'Keal Harry.
That was also a very difficult one.
Okay, this is going to be a great mock if everybody's just saying a word and we're going to the next thing and that's it.
Why do you like N'Keal Harry?
Dude, I could go on all day. He was my number one, actually my 101 for a real long time, for years, really, and my wide receiver one. And I just didn't waver from that. I saw nothing that he did last season to make me drop him down. none of the conjecture and the chatter and the talk and stuff that I saw gave me any reason to move him anywhere but where I had him. Other players, yeah, I moved up, I moved down and things like that, but I never wavered on that. And then when he's picked by New England with that, you know, final pick of the first round, that sealed it for me. The usage, I think, is going to be great because of how well he plays in the slot, but also, you know, outside the short area. I don't know if it's the best landing spot he could have had as a receiver, but the fact that the Patriots burned.
Something happened.
Trade alert.
Wait, I was supposed to be on the
103 to Shane Manila. That's huge. That's huge. So now I got the first real decision of the draft is do you go Josh Jacobs or Miles Sanders? And I am going to be a homer, and I'm going to take Miles Sanders over Josh Jacobs in the real first surprise of the draft.
How was that the decision at 103?
What's your decision?
It's not even close to a decision. Josh Jacobs wins that going away. I mean, not even close. This is total homerism. Not only did you steal a pick, but now we have to deal with this homerism too.
Well, Josh Jacobs.
We deal with the semi show actually.
Josh Jacobs had 3 years that he was at Alabama, right, where he got significant playing time. Miles Sanders had 1 year of significant playing time and put up better stats than him. So I've actually seen Miles now, and I like Jacobs because I've already drafted him a couple drafts, but I've actually seen Miles Sanders can actually do the things that we believe Jacobs can.
Sure.
So,
and it's a homer pick.
And like Kevin mentioned before, Shane always steals picks and he stole mine. There is one thing to tell you guys. I just got a message. It said that Rich Dotson was joining. So I clicked it. And when I clicked it, it makes everybody go away. And it says you have too many people in the room. So I told Rich, I said, hold on a second. I got to go back to tell everybody what's going on. So we need to do another pick and then we'll be able to add. But apparently we can't have more than the people we have in the room right now.
All right, tell you what. So I'm going to log off for a little bit.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
We'll call you back. Promise. We'll call you back when we're ready.
Because you already made two picks. So
I made two picks. I did have a good draft so far. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's a good team, even though you screwed up one.
All right. So then we're gonna lose Shane, and then Jeremy put Rich back in. Bye, all right. So what happened here? We just lost Shane after he did a second pick after stealing a pick from me.
You kicked him out. kicked him out, and you're saying we lost him.
Well, that's
he
what I'm...
Bernardo and Swags can pick, and then we'll get Rich's pick, and we'll be all set.
Can we just edit that we kicked him out for picking Sanders over Jacobs?
We can put it any way we want, but yeah, that's what Kevin was wanting to say anyway. So, all right, so...
pretty much.
And I didn't
if
even...
you want to kick me out, I've got Jacobs third.
Well, you don't pick to a long time, so be quiet, Dabari. So here, let's go. Fanaro, you're on the clock.
Ooh, I'm on the clock. All right, so do we literally have Jacobs falling to me right here?
Yeah, you really do.
That's ridiculous.
You really do.
That's ridiculous. I wanted to talk about Dynasty Trades HQ.
That's what happens.
I wanted to talk about the tier break after those top three, right? I feel like there was a tier break there, and I feel like it gets a little complicated, but not my pick. My pick's, like, simple. I mean, I'm going to go with Jacobs clearly here. I mean, it's going to upset a lot of people. It's a no-brainer choice. He's an instant three-down back. He's got a great team, pretty good offensive line, and opportunity out the wazoo. Why would it not be Jacobs here?
I thought really he was going to slide to 10. So he really just burst my bubble.
Well, if Shane wouldn't have stole the pick from me at 103, I would have took him. But Shane stole my pick, so he wouldn't have fell to you, Katie, at 10.
What did you give up to let him take the 103? I mean, I feel like you got hosed on that trade, no matter what it was.
I think every time we ever do a draft, I get hosed on the trades, but it's all good with me. So, all right, obviously, Michael, that's a great pick at 104. So, how about your partner? How about your partner Swags? What are you doing at 105?
And I'm taking Dwayne Haskins here, and I probably would have taken him three overall, to be honest with you. So I love this. I'm just as happy with Haskins. Well, not just, but about just as happy as I would be with Kyler Murray. Like, I love the landing spot. I think it's awesome. I love this at 5. Absolutely, and super flex. Like, yeah, I thought I was gonna get Miller here or Miles Sanders, sorry, but Shane helped us all out.
Yeah. So, oh, and it's perfect timing because Rich Dotson just popped in the room right when it's on his pick at 106. Welcome, Rich.
Hi, what's going on? Let me. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, it's been kind of a mess here. We ended up having to kick Shane out of the show. So Shane's gone so that we can add another person into the room.
Hey, Rich, I just sent you the draft picks. We can go through them too, but I just tweeted you the DM'd you the picks. But it basically started out with Kyler Murray at 101, N'Keal Harry at 102. At 103, Miles Sanders. 104, Josh Jacobs. 105, Dwayne Haskins, and now you're on the clock, buddy.
Okay. So 105 is Dwayne Haskins. This is a super flex mock.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is it tight end premium?
Sure.
Totally made that up.
Shane! I mean, Jeremy, no, that's
sure. Starting three wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, but we're in so many leagues spots. Now where. We're in so many leagues now where the tight end is elevated, so let's just do it. Tight end
premium. So yeah, I mean, it's not a prep that I put in this. Leagues are tight end premium leagues.
I agree. I mean, yes,
I put so much prep into this
mock
pick.
Draft, and now it's just out the window. This is ridiculous.
That's what I love about Cotillo and Katie Flower because they're so like they're unaffected by this. They're still going to draft a good team, and they're going to be like, "Kiss my ass, my team's better." I love that. And Rich Dotson's probably going to do the same thing right now.
Well, thanks, Rich, for fixing
it. Daniel Jones here. I would. I know a lot of people probably wouldn't. What's crazy is I'm in some rookie drafts right now that are super flex, and Daniel Jones is. I traded up in UPDL league, and I traded up to 2-2 for Daniel Jones. I was literally shocked that he was there, the second quarterback off the board NFL draft that a team's gonna be committed to in a super flex league, a young quarterback. Whether you like Daniel Jones or not, that's just too good a value. But here in a tight end premium, I'm going to just play myself a little bit safer, and I would take TJ Hockenson. This guy is about as elite as it comes when it comes to rookie tight ends. He's a three-down tight end. He's pro-ready. He's going to come right into the league and contribute right away. He's going to start right away, so he's going to see those targets. We're talking about a position right now that is just starving for more superstars. Even the guys at the top, besides George Kittle, I mean, Travis Kelce coming off the ankle injury. That's like his third or fourth injury surgery as it is. Zach Ertz has got Dallas Goedert to worry about. So the two top-end guys have somewhat question marks, whether it be age or injury or guys behind them that are extremely good. So for me, TJ Hockenson's a very easy pick here. He's safe. He's a stud. I'm getting more points per reception than the rest of these guys on the board. I'm all over it. I think it's a fantastic pick. I'm just going to go ahead and high-five myself. There, I did it.
High-five yourself.
Yeah, I love the pick, and I love that you fixed the draft on the sixth pick of the draft by having Jeremy out tight end premium. That's awesome. And now
– Even if it wasn't, I'd probably still take him here. I mean, again, even if it wasn't tight end premium, he's that good. I'd still consider taking him here. Again, it's just more of a position value than anything, and I love the tight end position more than ever. I preach it all the time in every show I could possibly get onto saying, hey, you know, when you're in a dynasty championship or any fantasy football championship where it is, the two teams playing each other are pretty damn good for the most part. And they're pretty loaded at each position. And so you're always trying to find that edge, you know, whether like last year, Pat Mahomes was that edge at quarterback because he was so dominant. And before that, the edge that you had for years, Robert Gronkowski was scoring 100 more points than the tight end 3 or tight end 4 or tight end 5. That's a huge edge over your opponent. So I'm always looking for that slight edge over my opponent when it matters most. And when it matters most is in the championship game and in the playoffs. And I think the tight end is a position that can give you that edge. So to me, hands down, easiest pick of this whole entire draft is TJ Hockenson. And to be honest with you, in a tight end premium league, I'd be okay with taking him over a guy like N'Keal Harry. And I love N'Keal Harry. But when we're talking about somebody's going to edge over their opponents in a tight end premium position, that's Hockenson. If Hockenson can turn into a Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce as a tight end premium league, he's clearly a top end pick here. So I'm pretty much stealing here, guys. Thanks. Charge me with that robbery.
Drop the mic. Thanks, Rich. That's awesome. So then that really puts that. John DeBarry at 107. You're on the clock, John.
Oh, I'm at 7. I thought I was 8.
We moved you up because you're here and available.
Nice. I like it. For me, it's a no-brainer. He's probably going to – this is probably earlier than he's going in most places. But give me Deebo Samuel. I have him number two in this class, not super flex, then he's third. But I love him. I was high on the talent coming in. I loved his landing spot. So perfect situation, in my opinion. I think he's the safest pick in the first round this year. I think he's pretty much bust-proof.
He's going to play right away, eh?
All right, well then, awesome. So we're just kind of breezing through here now, and we're up to Katie Flower, where, Katie, you were at 10, now you're at 8.
Yeah, Mal.
You traded
Mal,
up.
Good trade, good trade. Good move.
Yeah. It was a good trade, and this
I get passed? Just to be clear here, I got passed.
No, we moved you to 109.
I had 9, and I'm still
you traded
nine.
Back.
So, yeah, 10 gets up to, this is ridiculous.
Well, draft.
Should have pulled the trigger
ahead,
on the trade.
You got to hit accept a little quicker.
Katie's like, take it. Take
go
it.
Go ahead, Katie. By all means.
All right. Well, since Rich can change the rules in the middle of the draft, that means I've got to change my pick in the middle of the draft. I'm going to go ahead and take Noah Fant, the other Iowa State tight end that is gone to the Broncos. The Broncos at pick 10 traded back, got a boatload, and they still got their guy at 20 overall. He's a great pass catcher. I'm not so worried about his blocking ability. He's an athlete, and both those guys were worthy of first-round NFL picks, and they're both worthy in tight end premium right in these slots, 5 and 7, 5 and 8. That's about where you're going to be looking.
Yeah, no argument for me. The rookie drafts I've been in, which I feel like every commissioner that I'm in a league with decided that Monday after the NFL draft would be the ideal day to start the rookie draft, because I have like 8 of them all the same day. Have to go in the office. Everybody's like, you're on the clock. I'm like, damn, I don't even know what's available or what's going on. But Hockenson and Fant have gone high in all of them, you know, in the first round and all of those. So, yeah, definitely good stuff.
So Kevin, it is now at you at 109.
I get to go. You don't want to jump someone else.
We've
take the pick in front of me, or
we've moved it around a few times on you, but now you're finally on the clock.
But he's never moved. He never
moved.
Pivoted.
Everyone else got. Now that's okay. Listen, here's the reason I give Katie the pick. For one, it makes me look like a nice guy. For another, I can still beat her with this 9th pick. And lastly, I knew she wasn't going to take David Montgomery, who was the guy I'm going to take here, because I knew she was going to go tight end because you guys flipped the rules and made it tight end premium.
Yes,
I don't really care about the tight end premium, so I don't care that she got Fant, and I don't care that Hawk went, because I don't really love taking tight ends in the rookie drafts anyway if I don't have to. If I can wait and punt on the position, or you know, get them later in the draft and take a shot and throw them on my taxi squad, fine. But I tend to be of the belief that we don't see a lot of production out of them the first couple of years. Sometimes you do, and maybe I'm okay missing on the ones that do. But for the most part, you might have to wait a couple of years. And a lot of times you can get them cheaper in the second year when you trade for them. So that's
seems
my
to
move.
Seems to be a buy low at some point.
Yeah, that's my – go ahead. You can, yeah, sure.
I want to ask a question, because a lot of people in this room are pretty hardcore dynasty enthusiasts and pretty intellectual, right?
Sure.
I just want to know that this is not even me being facetious. All right, this is not me trying to bust balls. This is a serious question, and I want to answer between you guys, because you guys would have better all this. I want to know why somebody would take David Montgomery, who's a nice solid player anyways, in a super flex league over Daniel Jones. I just want to know, like, why isn't all that, no? And this isn't just you. I'm in a lot of super flex league rookie drafts right now, and Daniel Jones is slipping, and I have no like. Like, all of a sudden, these young quarterbacks are going to get opportunity, or just like a, you know, you can find them anywhere you want. Like, you're telling me you're like okay starting a guy like Andy Dalton over risking a guy like Daniel Jones? I mean, to me, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. So I'm just looking from a different perspective from you guys. Kevin, you know, Kevin's on the clock. He took David Montgomery. Like, what made you say, okay, I'm taking mm-hmm. David Montgomery over Daniel Jones in a super flex rookie draft?
Well, I assumed I have the 10th pick, too, for one. But
I'm sure championship caliber team.
No,
so
I'm kidding.
Again, so. I mean, so you take – the way I would look at it is like, okay, this is, again, my perspective. I mean, who am I? I'm just another person with an opinion. But yeah, I just want to know.
I'll answer your question. I mean, honestly, I like Montgomery. I think he's a very solid player. I'm a huge running back fan. I tend to lean running backs, particularly in rookie drafts, for one. Obviously, it's super flex. You're quarterbacks are going to be much more valuable. I like Jones. I don't have a problem with Jones. I particularly think that in this draft, I with a 10th pick,
I don't know. I didn't lean Jones because I just don't see the long-term value of him. I think that he might be – there's a very solid chance that he doesn't end up being a starter for a long term. So I like the fact that I'll get production out of Montgomery because I think I will get solid production out of him for at least 4 years, right? I can't say that for sure with Jones, and I don't mind having quarterbacks. I mean, Andy Dalton might be the absolute last rung of quarterbacks that I'm okay with, but I don't mind having back-end quarterbacks in a super flex league. As long as they're starters, and I think there is a large number of serviceable quarterbacks in the league right now, and I think that if you're a good team in a league and you're drafting 1-9, you probably have decent quarterbacks on your team as well. I mean, for the purposes of this exercise, we have no idea what's on our rosters, right? But
Drew Brees and Jared Goff and Teddy Bridgewater.
But I mean,
and I'm Kevin, more than happy with those guys going and passing on and getting another year out of those guys and passing on Daniel Jones.
But to your point, Kevin, like when you're hitting into that trade calculator, like who stands the best chance to increase value in a super flex league by the end of the year? And that's going to be, sorry to answer the question, but that's going to be the starting quarterback and the young guy. If he takes that job, like it or not, that's where your trade value comes in. And to Rich's point, like to drink, you and I throw this around a lot back and forth. Like cheapest place to get a quarterback is always going to be in your draft.
Sure.
And but yeah, man,
the cheapest place to get one. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So.
I
think the sad truth of it right now is that Daniel Jones is that joke to everybody, like the NFL side and the fantasy side and the dynasty industry as well. So it's kind of like you have to stay away from him and see how far he drops and who's gonna
grab him.
But at some point, the draft capital alone, he's gonna get a shot.
Yeah, best value in every super flex league right now, hands down, bar none, Daniel Jones. Hands down, bar none. You're getting a quarterback in a super flex league with a top 10 pick in the NFL draft at the end of the first round, high second round in a super flex league. A quarterback that had showed some good athleticism. A quarterback that had the most dropped footballs in all of football. If his receivers were even mildly competent, his completion percentage could be up in the 70 percentile. To me, I just don't. Again, it's an honest question because to me, I don't understand.
So, I mean, would you take him? So, by that logic, then Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and then Daniel Jones should be your first three, right? There should be no one else.
No, honestly, that's
essentially what you're saying.
No,
it's not like the first 32 quarterbacks are ever the first off the board.
But then that defies the logic that you just laid out.
It should be in the draft if you're going by that theory.
No, but I think he's talking about more at this late pick, like 108, 109, not so much 103, right?
What's the difference, though? If he said, bar none, the most valuable picks in the rookie draft are going to be the quarterbacks after the draft, then they should always go.
I said Daniel Jones is the best bargain in this draft for where he's going right now. I did not say quarterbacks are always the 1-1. I mean, last year I'd take Saquon Barkley 1-1 over quarterbacks. I mean, there's going to be – I think Elliott would most likely overrun running backs like this. And again, it's different. It's different tiers. Like you did like David Montgomery. I will admit, like I'm not as high on David Montgomery as some of the rest of people are. I do like him. I'm not as high. Like I like Josh Jacobs a lot. And if I need a running back, I could consider – gambling on that running back over the quarterback. This is not a slam on you, Kevin, by any means. This is not like, oh, why'd you take
that? It's a discussion. I love having these arguments.
It's just what I've seen so far. Like, it's already Monday. I'm already involved in all these Superflex leagues, and I'm literally seeing with my own eyes. I'm in leagues with other podcasters, Matt Kelly. All these guys are out in these leagues, and I still see him slip. And to me, it's just a little mind-numbing. I just don't understand it because I've considered training up multiple times into the back end of the first to get him, and I've tried to.
Rich, for you, it's basically – I mean, the big thing for you is that we're talking about what is going to be, probably going to be, the Giants' starting quarterback, and he was drafted so highly. Because that could have been Dwayne Haskins in that spot or someone else, but it's really the fact that he was taken as high as he was taken, and you're looking at him becoming a starter.
He is guaranteed starting reps for, let's say, minimum
2 years. I mean, minimum, most okay. likely 2 years.
When does that start?
I would say might not start for a full year. And we go back to what, the fifth pick?
Or three.
Sixth pick, where you took a tight end over that with value that might not see itself for a year and a half or two years, too.
It's a tight end premium, and the guy I drafted, I think, is the next Rob Gronkowski. That's why, in a tight end premium league. So that's right up there. With court. I mean, in a tight end premium league, you're going to start a Travis Kelce. You're going to start a Zach Ertz over guys like Andy Dalton. I mean, just because it's super flex doesn't mean you start two quarterbacks. You're going to start the guys who give the most points. So the reason it is a tight end premium is because you want to get those tight ends on a larger par with these high-end quarterbacks. Again, you start DeAndre Hopkins over a lot of these quarterbacks that are available. So it's just the way I look at it. Again, I think if you get a quarterback who's given the opportunity, yes, could it be a bust? Yeah, Kyler Murray could be a bust. He's going 1-1 in super flex leagues. You know what I mean? So it's like his chance – I literally see his chances of being a bust almost as equal to as Daniel Jones. I mean, he's got a lot of flaws against his game as well.
I get that part of it.
But he's going 1-1 too. I mean, if you want, I mean, let's face it, the 2019 rookie class, nobody's safe. It's like Game of Thrones. Yeah. We don't know who's going to be the last person on top of their throne.
Spoilers.
You know what I mean? So, like, if we're looking at, if I'm going to gamble in the back end of a rookie draft, in a weak rookie class of that has a lot of gamble all across the board, then I'm going to just put my, again, just me and the way I would operate it, is I'd put my chips on that young quarterback. And like I said, maybe he does start off real hot. And even if I'm not a Daniel Jones truther, he starts off okay, I can flip that guy into for sure guaranteed running back.
I think my biggest hesitation with Daniel Jones, and probably the reason we're seeing him slip so often in these rookie drafts that we're doing, is I think there's a solid chance he doesn't play this year. I really do. So for me, your value doesn't go up next year, right? It's probably about the same next year as it is right now.
But we could also argue that, you know, Eli Manning got benched for Geno Smith, and he had Odell Beckham with him at the time.
True. You know what I mean? So I tend to hope that the Giants learn something out of that and won't do it again. but I think that Jones is the type of prospect that they're looking at as a long term play. They're gonna roll out Eli for the year and plan to play him next year. At least that's my own personal thoughts. And honestly,
top 10 picks don't rest. I mean,
usually honestly, not. Usually
when
not.
The Giants are out of it and they're like, okay, thanks for coming, Eli. This is it for you. We're for sure gonna review next year anyways. Sure. You know, come week 14, 15, 16, granted, it's not fantasy relevant time, and you're not going to start him regardless. He's a rookie quarterback in there late in the season. But he'll probably, odds are Giants aren't making the playoffs. Once they're eliminated from the playoffs, odds are Daniel Jones is going to get some rest. And they'll spin it any way they want to. The rest of Eli, get a look at the rookie.
You said you don't really love Montgomery, but let's put this in a virtual world where you do love Montgomery, right? Like, and you think he actually is going to produce him this year, right? So let's say Montgomery has those 14 weeks where he's on the field and producing at a high level. At that point, the value of them has now maybe not flipped, but it's pretty close for a highly productive running back versus a quarterback that hasn't seen the field yet.
Okay, I mean, an argument I make against David Montgomery is we're playing in a PPR tight end super flex league, and he's got the field with Tariq Cohen, who's probably going to dominate the pass catching ability of that. So now David Montgomery just became way more touchdown dependent than I really wanted him to be, because he's not going to be utilized as a three down running back.
You're not playing my game. I said he was not playing my game.
There are rules.
Yeah. So say he's producing at a high level. Yeah, I mean. Yeah,
I'm just saying what we're talking about is speculative ads, because there's no sure thing in this at this point, right? That's my point.
That's 100%. I 100% agree on that.
So I took the guy I like.
I wasn't slamming your pick. I was just trying to get a group feel about here, like why Daniel Jones is really slipping in a super flex premium league. I don't get it, and I'm trying to carpe diem that moment. Every super flex like I'm in, I see him slip down to 1-9, 1-10, where there's a lot of garbage there, and people are trying to move out of those picks. Like, if I have a really late. If I have any kind of like commodities on my team, I'm flipping those for that pick to get that young quarterback, like anything at all. And right now I'm seeing people are taking like, you know, 2 second round picks and a 2023rd. I gave up a second round pick. Like I let him slip back like 8 picks. I gave up a 2023rd and a 5th to go get Daniel Jones. So I could literally give up a 2023rd to get Daniel Jones in the super flex league I'm in. And it's a podcast league with podcast hosts that do this for, this is what they do. They do the podcast to talk about Dynasty, and people respect their opinion. So I just thought it was kind of
odd. I'm like, what am I missing? Am I just like the dumbest dynasty player in the world all of a sudden?
Hey, this is Madman. I think that this dialogue is great because there were so many debates, you know, especially after the rookie draft, every year really, where people talk about super flex and how valuable is a quarterback. And that's in deep classes like last year it started. I picked up on it a lot. And then this year, too, with some of the idiosyncrasies around it with Daniel Jones being drafted so high and, you know, is Haskins, you know, the best quarterback out there because of this? Is Kyler Murray the best quarterback? And then you run into this situation. It really seems like even in super flex, Superfly Snuka, it seems like people really just kind of go for, like you said, toward the bottom third of the first round, players that they like better. I mean, I had that same thing today when I was picking at 108. You know, I'm looking at TJ Hockenson. I'm looking at some other players. I'm like, I've got to take Hockenson. And much like Cotillo just said a little while ago, I never draft tight ends in the first round if I can avoid it. I just don't, because I don't want to wait 3 years for them to become a thing. I'm trying to win now all the time. So I typically, you know, take something else or trade out of that spot. But time was ticking. I'm like, you know what? This guy's going to get on the field this year and play, and he's going to be blocking and doing all those things, so he gets the game down, and then he's going to start catching those passes. And I believe in him like you said you do. But really, it comes down to a personal, you know, I don't want to say bias, but it comes down to my personal ratings of these players and how my confidence in them. It really boils down to confidence for me in the player. You're more confident in Daniel Jones, and Cotillo is more confident in David Montgomery at this spot. And I don't know that there's a right answer, but we probably will know pretty soon. You know, Montgomery's going to get some playing time this year, and I'm not sure about Daniel Jones yet for this year.
Okay, three things. One, I'm definitely not that confident in Daniel Jones. I just think it's value.
So you're playing the odds. Yeah, you're playing the odds.
Yeah, and that's any quarterback. You know what I mean? That's any quarterback that comes in draft. It's almost 50-50 regardless. So it's like it's a coin flip. Nobody knows if Daniel Jones would be good or not. Two, I totally apologize for putting a screeching halt to this mock draft.
No.
Totally
my fault here. No.
Number three, I completely expect the next pick to be Daniel Jones.
Well, I'll say this. Listen, the beauty of all of this is that it is just everybody's opinion. I mean, it is a rookie mock. Like Kevin said earlier, none of us have any teams. We don't have any reference of what we need and what we don't need. So everybody's making their opinions. And I don't think
I think we all like this, too. This discussion is what – I mean, this is an interesting class. People bashed it going in. And I was thinking – we talked about it on this podcast with guests Mike, you and I talked about it quite a few times. It was actually interesting because we had so many questions about players that it was really going to be interesting to talk about and look at after the NFL draft. I mean, David Montgomery and that horrible pick by Cotillo aside, I think we can learn something. I'm just kidding, Kevin. I'm totally kidding. I'm totally joking, buddy.
But what I was going to say, pick
and I play fantasy for me.
That's cool. And what I was going to say to Rich was, I was going to say he didn't need to apologize because that's really the point of doing all of this anyways, because people could listen to the show and hear somebody say, well, I take Kyler Murray, I take N'Keal Harry, I take Miles Sanders. But without this discussion and back and forth and why you do it and why you should do it or why you might want to think this way, that's what makes it interesting for people that are listening. And I think that was a good discussion between the two of you guys. And
never mind. I retract my statement. You're welcome for making the show interesting.
There you go. That's nice. Perfect. No, the other thing is we have like three more picks with three more people. Like, I think it's backed up because Skype doesn't let more people in the room. Yeah, so is Jason in? Did Jason get in? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So then, Jason, you are on the clock at 110.
Can I trade this to Rich for his 2021st?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Rich.
You don't want it straight up? That 2021st is more valuable Love than it. Daniel Jones is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. The 2021st class is absolutely loaded, and some of those quarterbacks are going to slip because the receivers and running backs are so dynamic. Some people are not going to be able to pass up on those guys. And the quarterback's class is much stronger next year. So I'm not going to flip it for a 2021st, that's for sure. But I haven't had to so far. I haven't seen one person had to give up a 2021st to get Daniel Jones. Like I mentioned earlier, I moved up from 210 to 22 and gave up a 2023rd and picked 5-8 for him. So, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Steal.
I'm not
full-blown
crazy. I'm just mildly delusional.
Fair enough. Well, somebody else can take Daniel Jones because I'm not going to do it either.
Unbelievable. Who you taking?
Man, there's so many people here because you guys went crazy in front of me. I don't necessarily
know the picks. Let me. Do you know all the picks?
I mean, it's been a while. Why don't you go ahead and break it down?
Just do a recap.
I'm gonna grab another
101. 1.01. I'm just gonna say 101. Kyler Murray. 102. N'Keal Harry. 103 was Miles Sanders. Some crazy trade between Blitz and Shane. 104. Josh Jacobs. 105. Dwayne Haskins. 106. T.J. Hockenson, not Daniel Jones. 107, Debo Samuel. 108, Noah Fant. 109, David Montgomery. And then 110, to drink, you're on the clock.
Yeah, I really not trying to be biased here, but I like the Haskins pick at 105, and I'm not even the biggest Haskins guy, but Swags didn't respond to my trade for me to move up, so thanks for nothing.
Oh, you sent me an offer?
I mean, to move up in this mock that you didn't respond to like normal, which sounds like most of our trades.
Fake.
Which is why I didn't accept that other one earlier.
You didn't reject it, speaking of not responding.
Yeah, you're welcome. It goes both ways. I'm going to take A.J. Brown here because he hasn't been off the board yet. I don't necessarily love his landing spot, but just in the rookie drafts and other mocks that have happened today and post-draft, I see him going much higher than this. So it seems like an easy flip candidate for me picking at 110 where I've just missed out in the championship game in this made-up league, so I'll take that or a piece to flip A.J. Brown and make it into the championship and beat you, Jokers, next year.
And just for the record, I had the original 110 pick. I wanted to stay there, especially when Rich changed the rules to tight end premium, and I was eyeballing A.J. Brown at the 10th spot the whole time. So
I may have listened to Rookie Fever this morning in preparation for this, where you were on. So
Rookie Fever was awesome the person today,
sniping so Rookie Flowers.
That was a reverse snipe. So Mike,
everybody, go check out Rookie Fever.
Just to test my resolve.
Yeah, Katie's a big AJ Brown guy. That was her number one receiver in this class.
So I'm gonna flip this to Katie afterwards. Me and her can talk.
Okay.
I don't think Rich liked the pick.
Rich didn't like the pick.
He could have got it for.
I just saw him nodding. No.
Well,
you know what you thought you guys should be doing, Daniel Jones.
You got that right.
I don't believe in Gettleman. I don't believe in the Giants. I don't believe that Daniel Jones is the right guy, and I think it's a waste of a pick, honestly. And that's why I wouldn't take him.
I don't believe in Marcus Mariota or that run first team.
And I don't blame you there, but I think that lots of things can happen with landing spots. I'd rather have the talent and a bad landing spot than no talent and no landing spot.
AJ Brown. Do we think
Corey Davis is more talented than AJ Brown?
No.
I don't.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure. I really don't.
Rich is
think
pissed
so.
Again.
And it's funny too because Shane's not in the room right now either, and Shane loves AJ also.
He loves both of them. I know.
I'm with you on this one for sure. I love Corey Davis, but I do think AJ Brown is more talented.
That's baffling to me.
What if we even called them equal in talent? What if we they're pretty close in talent? It's just the whole fit, like Gettleman and stuff. Like, I just don't like the. It's just a bad fit. It's not even anything against AJ Brown. It's just a bad fit.
The passing reps in that offense per snap are horrible. It's 200 and some. I mean, it was just bad. It was awful. And so, how are they going to spread the ball? Is Mariota suddenly going to pass the ball more? I doubt it. I mean, I don't expect any of those receivers to be what we want them to be. But I still think Brown is more talented than Corey Davis. I don't know if it matters in that offense.
I'm hoping Mariota can feel his fingers this year. That'll help a little bit. Even if he is close to Corey Davis, I just got him at 110. I know it's not quite the same, but Corey Davis was 101 for a lot of people that year. So even just right there, the value difference. And again, I don't even like A.J. Brown this much, but I can't let him keep sliding. I'll let Daniel Jones go for a few more picks. But I'll go ahead and take A.J. Brown to flip him because there are a lot of people that like him a lot more than me.
The other thing about A.J. Brown, he has been playing minor league baseball. And when you've got a two-sport athlete that also attends college, he's got nothing. But now that he's going to focus on football and football only, it's a lot like Kyler Murray. Now that he can just focus on the one sport, he's got a lot to learn and can exponentially get higher. And he's already been productive from a young age. So –
There's just another receiver I like.
Over landing spot here.
Yeah, if I didn't take Daniel Jones here, I just like there's another receiver out even. But again, it's just who cares? It's just my opinion. That's all.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's
the guy that jacked up the draft at one point.
Terry McLaurin. There's
a lot of guys. Damn right. Yeah. We gotta have established rules here.
Well, we did have one more pick here with Zach, but is Zach in the room? I don't believe he is.
Trying to get him in here. I think someone's probably gonna have to go before we have him pull him in. Unfortunately, Kevin, are you heading out? You going to bed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got lambasted by Rich, and then now I'm hearing Corey Davis isn't as good as AJ Brown. I don't know. I think that's it.
So Kevin, then you got moved up to 111. You traded to 111. So what do you want, Kevin?
Oh, this is my pick now.
Yep, you get 111.
No, I think Zach's gonna join us, but yeah,
you said he wasn't here.
Yeah, no. I'm going to bounce so that Zach can come in.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
I do this in honor of Zach because he's awesome and he'll make a way better pick. Later, guys.
I appreciate it, Kevin.
We love you.
Good. Good. Later.
No land based in.
All right, so you're going to put Zach in? If anybody else has to leave, I appreciate it, guys, if you need to go.
If we want to leave, you appreciate it?
No, I appreciate you being here, I'm saying.
I appreciate it if you want to leave.
No, I mean, I appreciate you.
I'm just sticking around to tell more people that they're wrong.
No, that's fine.
Skype was definitely not leaving now that I know Sipes wants us to.
Right. No, I don't want you to. I was offering it to anybody if they wanted to.
More fucks coming your way.
Yeah, I almost feel like I should go just so I get appreciated.
No, I said it wrong. Whatever. Oh my gosh. All right. So, Jeremy, is Zach in there or?
Doesn't look like it.
No, man, he hasn't joined yet.
You're not Jeremy.
The other Jeremy.
So, what do you guys think about Daniel Jones?
Really good. Well, look, the final pick
the final pick in the
round was supposed to be a consensus pick based on what everybody thought, and
we got the 111. Yeah,
pretty much the way this is going, it might end up being Daniel Jones anyway. So
I will say this though, I had three picks there. I had a 3-4 and a 5. That I just made, and I had it all planned to go Miles Sanders, Haskins, and Harry, but Rich's rant talked me into Hawkinson instead of Harry, so I let Harry fall to 7.
You're awesome.
Wow.
Harry fell to 6. And Rich, it is a tight end premium. So
I'm talking to Rich.
But I've got Ingram and Howard. I didn't really need Hawkinson, but man, the Lions thing, and maybe he wasn't. I have a pick at 10 too. Who knows if he would have been there, but Rich talked me into it.
You're welcome.
You're crazy.
Thanks. Yeah.
I really hope he doesn't bust.
And
I have 1-4 in a league where I need a tight end because I had Gronk and he retired, and I'm taking Hawkinson there. Like, I'm taking
that. Is that super flex as well?
Nope.
I don't hate
it.
It's a regular standard.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all.
It's a PPR league, but I'm still taking them at 1-4. I don't give a rat's behind.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all without being super flex.
Not worth trying to back up a couple spots, gain something else. Even if it means you end up with Fant over Hawkinson.
We'll see if I'm trying.
If Fant's there at 10, I'm taking him too to drink.
Yeah, I would too.
They'll both be there.
Do you have any picks in that round? Oh, I think you gave them to me, didn't you?
I gave you 5 and 10 in that one you're just talking about.
Yeah,
5 and 10 for what was it? Fournette and Tyreek.
Have you guys seen anything though? Rosen. In rookie, have you guys been drafting first round rookie picks yet? I mean, you know, started your first rounds of your drafts. Have you seen anything goofy? Because it's been kind of, I don't want to say predictable, but it's not really been.
I saw Daryl Henderson go 111 and draft him in right. It just went like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, Nikhil Harry just fell to 106. I thought that.
He
fell
to 106.
I had a part in that, but I still, it's kind of crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy. Like I said, if it's a super flex tight end premium, you can see it go Haskins, Murray, Hawkinson, Fant, Sanders.
I'm super stoked to add Sanders and get a quarterback in Haskins and then another tight end. Got my Lions tight end. I'll probably try to trade Galladay now.
How high did you say Henderson went, Rich?
I saw him at 111.
111, wow.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that stood out. I mean, so in all the drafts I'm in, like, so I'm like, why would you do that? I took Hakeem Butler at 2-1. I just thought it was really weird that Henderson went 11. I got to see if he's the girly owner or not, but still, it's just,
oh yeah.
Even then.
Yeah, I saw that. Henderson go in a Debbie, like a one round Debbie depleted draft at 108, but there were.
Was that me? Was that me? Because I took him for the Debbie depleted today, but I don't remember what pick it was.
Yeah,
was that my pick?
I don't think so.
Use what? Your pick.
No.
As long as it's not Daniel Jones.
We had 11?
Yep.
We're at 11.
All right, guys. So we don't have Zach? Chairman?
Yeah, we haven't been able to get him in here, so we're going to just have to do this one as a consensus pick.
Well, Zach DM'd me and said DK Metcalf.
No, I just – somebody just gave me this pick.
Damn it.
No,
got it for free.
So go ahead, take it. Yeah.
I'm going to pick Daniel Jones just to get that shit out of the way.
So at 111, Swags moves up and he takes Daniel Jones at 111.
Terrible pick.
Shane is the new Gettleman.
No. See, Rich did all that just so that somebody else takes Daniel Jones, and he said all that stuff.
That's how I operate my whole rookie draft. I just talk everybody up as much as I can, and just hope the guy I really want slips to me.
That's awesome.
No, but I truly, I mean, yeah, like throat punch me if you want to, but I truly kind of like I buy into it and the draft capital. And I even said that to you last night with Katie and Fenero. I said, but at some point, like last year, there were 5 quarterbacks drafted and we didn't love all of them, but they're all starters now. And that's all I need is a starter in the NFL in my Superflex league. I don't need them all to be Mahomes or Baker or my favorite flavor, but I want quarterbacks. And I've been that team without a quarterback in a Superflex league, and I've watched teams pay up for quarterbacks, and I know I'll be fine with Daniel Jones here. I mean, what, we're all backing up Eli Manning all of a sudden?
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it. In a 12-team league, right, if everything was just dispersed equally, there's 4 teams out there that literally only have 2 starting quarterbacks. And
right.
That's it. And that's everything spread out fairly. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like they're just – in a super flex league, it's just, they're a rare commodity. I mean, just like anything else, it's a rare commodity, and it's worth way more if it pans out than anything else out in the community. So that's the gamble. That's, you know, if you could buy a lottery ticket and the prize is either $10 or $100 or $1 million, you know, or even $1,000, but they're all the tickets cost the same price. You know, what ticket are you going to buy?
It's pretty funny. Yeah. Last year, you know, in a lot of the rookie drafts, I ended up taking Josh Allen way late in a lot of drafts, and everybody's like, oh, he sucks. And everybody laughs about it. But I ended up even using him in some of my leagues this year. I started him sometimes.
Yeah, he was like the number one quarterback.
Hell yeah, dude.
Last, like, 4 weeks. Hell yeah, you use him.
Yeah, and I got him really late, and I got him in a trade. I even traded Jeremy for him in one of the leagues, and it's just like...
No, I never moved him to you, remember?
But that's...
Well,
you wish I did. You tried to send me a second. I was like, yeah, no thanks.
Whatevs. I don't remember. I thought we did trade, but whatever. I haven't been in a lot of my leagues, but it was the same thing. Most people were just letting him fall. They said he sucked, so I got him in a lot of leagues, and he ended up playing for me. So
maybe Daniel Jones is Josh Allen this year. We'll see.
Maybe. So listen, everybody, thank you so much for coming in here. I know it was like kind of a... What?
Yeah, the 112. Yeah, what are we doing consensus for 112? Because I'm thinking that most people are going DK Metcalf if he falls that far, but I'm Paris open to Campbell. Whatever you guys want to do.
Paris Campbell.
I would vote.
Wait. Hold on. All right. Wow, so Rich said Paris Campbell. Katie, what were you saying?
I said Metcalf.
Metcalf? Finaro?
Drew Lock.
Metcalf, easy.
Jeremy?
Easy.
I'll go last.
Oh, okay. Two drink?
Tie break. Going.
I'm going to go two drink on... Nope, that's my name. I'm going to go Drew Lock.
Swags?
I'm going to go Drew Lock. Oh. If we're going to take Daniel Jones, why aren't we taking Drew Lock then?
Swags? Because a blade of grass blown in the wind towards him freaks him out.
That's true, man. That part is true. That guy, I don't like. I don't think he'll ever be a good pro quarterback.
I'm going.
Are you speaking of Daniel Jones or Drew Lock?
Wait.
I'm talking about Drew Lock.
So, what'd you say, Swags?
Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and I was going to go Metcalf also. So it looked like we had three Metcalfs. So
consent. And I liked Arcega Whiteside.
Oh, yeah, I forgot JDB was even here.
DK Metcalf is gonna have to be there.
Hey, Two Drink, how did you feel about Will Greer's landing spot? Because that was your guy going into the draft. Like you were. What do you think about that? We haven't even talked yet.
Well, that's your fault. I'm waiting on you.
All right. So wait, what did we end up doing?
I think we had two Whitesides and three Metcalfs.
Okay.
And one Campbell.
And one Campbell.
And one, yeah.
And one Lock.
Will Greer. Brett Griffin.
I don't take turns in the first round, so you guys can have all the Metcalf shares you guys want.
Oh.
You tried to get Daniel Jones. That was your turn.
We had one Hollywood, too.
Yeah. All right. So great. So then we ended up putting it up as Metcalf. So thank you, everybody. It was kind of all over the place, but it was fun, and we appreciate all of you guys coming in here and giving us your opinions and debating
Shane
players.
Never came back.
Well, Shane is going to come back after everybody leaves. We're going to wrap up the show.
Basically,
with Shane.
We just dedicate our patron episode to Shane. It's him.
If I can even wake him up, because I guarantee you he's asleep now. So, but again, thank you everybody for joining us. We really appreciate you guys being here and giving your opinions and debating and. Hopefully we'll see you guys later on in other episodes and other drafts.
Yeah, I hope you guys had a good time.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Oh, he's fucking
Let's
bad.
All tell him who we are
Shane's
at the same
back.
Time. And
Shane's
like,
back.
That was like an audio.
Oh, man, that was an awesome draft.
Wait, where did
Shane?
Ruined your show. Where did Shane come from?
No, you didn't. Really.
Shane, you got the one.
I just added him.
I got the 112, too.
Yeah, I just traded it to you.
JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
He wasn't picked. Good pick.
Aha.
Over DK
Metcalf? Yeah.
Anybody shut up? Took two.
Wait, DK still on the board?
Yeah, that was the consensus number 12.
DK Metcalf still on the board. Marquise Brown still on the board. JJ.
I'll take DK Metcalf at 112.
Well,
how do you pass that up?
That was the consensus.
Weird push for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, well, three of us.
Took Daniel Jones. Yeah.
We didn't draft Daniel Jones in a superflex?
Oh, no. We did after Rich.
All right, Rich is smart.
He made us do it.
He's a starting quarterback in the NFL, so you kind of have to. Well, he will be eventually.
Shane, don't try and talk common sense in superflex leagues there, because it doesn't make any sense.
I like how he said, Rich made us do it.
The best about Dynasty, take who you believe in, man. You gotta believe in your pick, man. That's for sure in the first round.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't even really believe in Daniel Jones.
No, I don't either. But you know what?
Edit all of him out. Just...
How many of us believed in Josh Allen last year?
Hey, that was my that was what I had talked about, Shane. You weren't here for that discussion, though.
It's like
Josh Allen's first year over all of Daniel Jones' career.
If you're a starting quarterback, you're valuable. That's the thing. Some of the guys that we take later in the drafts never start for teams, and we never get that value out of them. But, you know, if they start.
Can we just call this
huge.
A Daniel Jones show?
No. It's that's, definitely, that's enough for
it. It's definitely going to be in the title, that's for sure.
Shane, I have a question for you because
uh-oh.
The talk about Daniel Jones was Daniel Jones should be in front of A.J. Brown. What do you think?
No. No.
All right. Thank you. That's all. I was just wondering.
Can I tell you a league?
Katie or Shane now.
There's a league that Rich and I are in. It's got a lot of letters. Yeah, a lot of letters. Oh, you guys are in it too. and I got AJ Brown at the 2-3. Which
where did Daniel Jones go?
I don't even know. I don't even care.
I tell
the
you,
fact
right,
that
right in front of you, I took him at 2-2. I traded up for him.
Did you?
Right. Yeah.
So I heard Daniel Jones would stop listening.
See, that would have stood out to me. I would have definitely remembered you took Daniel Jones at 2-2. Shane doesn't even remember.
Jeremy, like we would have remembered if we were in the room, if we knew anything about it.
Yeah. Shane protects us from these things.
Yes.
But wow. That's AJ perfect. Brown. After what we just went through for the last hour, that's perfect. That
Rich higher upside than AJ Brown Dynasty.
The last hour was amazing, Sipes. Are you kidding me?
No,
I had a great time.
And I'm saying that was perfect. That in a real rookie draft,
that's where I was on.
in a real rookie draft, Rich did that and traded up in front of Shane and us to get Daniel Jones, and then Shane got AJ Brown. That's why I said it was perfect.
But we actually traded up to get to AJ Brown.
Oh.
Because once he was on the board after we picked at like 110, then I sent offers to everyone that had a pick between then and the 2-2. When someone, I don't even remember who, someone finally accepted the offer.
At least I'm expensive. Sure, I told him I got Daniel Jones for 2023rd. So that's what it cost me to move up.
Yeah, that's nothing. I mean, a starting quarterback, that's ridiculous. Because even if we all think he sucks, the consensus was 80% of the dynasty community thought Josh Allen sucked. And he might not be able to throw very well, but he was a quarterback one for like a 6-week stretch there last year.
Hey, Shane, you kind of interrupted my segue to leave. Like, when I was telling you guys how amazing that last hour was, I was kind of getting ready to say goodbye, then you interrupted it. Now I got to tell y'all what I was doing.
Okay.
But man, I really do have to go, guys. I apologize. My night's long from over. So I had a great time, though. Thanks a ton for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry to bounce. I'd love to finish the show, but have a good time. Rich, thanks for helping me take my tight end of choice. Yeah, guys, thanks a ton.
Oh, this is big.
I'm out.
Trade alert.
Uh-oh.
I made a trade. We made a trade, guys.
So we did. Thanks. Let us know what it is, please.
We gave up the 2019 311 and the 2023rd for the 2019 303 in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcast League. Yeah, we made that trade with Dynasty Trade Calculator.
Is that the one that Rich is in that league?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're about to pick now. right. And I'm really feeling Justice Hill right here, guys. I'll let you be in part of this pick. What do you think?
That's a great value pick. He's a great scheme fit. His only competition is Kenneth Dixon.
Trash.
You know, trash. I think it's a fantastic pick at three in the third round.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we were targeting, guys. So we got the guy we were targeting there. You know, we saw him on the board, and we were like, let's move up and do it. And I'm happy that we could do that as a team.
I'm glad.
Yeah, just so you know, you would never be the guy I picked to make my picks.
I am happy with that, and I'm happy with that trade. We only had to give up a 2023rd, I guess, is what you said, right? To
move we have about 416 fourth-round picks in this draft. I don't know why. I don't know what we were doing, but we were collecting fourth-rounders like they matter.
We were probably podcasting while you were doing that.
Good chance, yeah.
So Daniel Jones, 6'5", 221, with a 4.8, 140.
Oh my God!
Senior Bowl MVP, you know, Eli and Payne's coach, Dominican College, you know, David Duck Cutliff. It's really good connection there, you know. I'm just kidding.
Did someone see? I'm sure someone saw Alvin Silva's tweet where basically the Giants have the last three Senior Bowl MVPs now. No one.
Okay. It was just that dead.
Well. Right. I like Loletta better than Daniel Jones.
Everybody liked Loletta last year. I tell you, I have no idea if the kid's going to be any good. I have none. But where Rich got him, oh my God, yeah. I should have probably.
My whole question, Shane, was just like, why is he going at the very back end of first and high second in the super flex? Like, that was my, like, I wasn't like, oh, I wasn't advocating taking Daniel Jones like number three or four overall. I thought it was really weird because I'm in so many super flex leagues, and he's literally every single one he is slipping past like 1.8, 1.9. And like when Kevin took David Montgomery, you know, a running back who's not even guaranteed to be a three down running back in that system, I just like, wow, why would you, if you're going to gamble on some upside, gamble on the quarterback upside. That's the only way I look at it. Like, again, I mean, it goes back to that lottery ticket thing. If I'm going to scratch the lottery ticket, I'm going for the big bucks. That's all. I mean, I'm not trying to preach Daniel Jones to be good, but it's not like, I mean, I don't even know what we're really basing off is like him being like ultra terrible is. I mean, he was just in a really shitty offense with a really bad team around him. And enough where he was consensus first round pick in the NFL draft and he goes top 10. And this goes back to, like I mentioned before, if you spread those quarterbacks out evenly, there's teams out there that literally only have two quarterbacks on their roster. And they're such a rare commodity to have a very young quarterback. I mean, people are taking guys like, what's the knucklehead out of Denver that got cut?
Paxton Lynch or Chad Kelly.
Chad Kelly. I don't want to talk about that.
There, you know, you see that guy fall in super flex leagues in the second round, you're going to preach their names. It's just, It's just rare that you see a quarterback go in the top 10 in an NFL draft, and then in a Superflex rookie draft, he doesn't get taken in the top 6. Like, I've never seen that before, ever.
Because everyone thinks the GM is crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw it last year with Josh Allen, because the leagues I drafted him in, I'm not going to pretend like I was like, oh, I'm smart, I'm going to draft him high here. I drafted him in the middle of the second round.
In a Superflex?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about before.
That is, it was just a deep quarterback class, so he was just pushed down because all those other quarterbacks, yeah. Rosen, Mayfield, mm-hmm. Darnold, Lamar Jackson just went ahead of him. So it's just like, at that point, you're not going to be redundant at the top of the second and take another quarterback. I mean, I would.
Jones was with the second quarterback off the board. I mean, the historic hit rate on those, he has a better hit rate than probably David Montgomery, as to your point earlier. We didn't have to worry about that, though, guys. We drafted Kyler Murray at 1.
Oh, okay.
Didn't. We drafted N'Keal Harry at 101, but we had the 102. So we just did that to screw with ADP.
I saw that savvy maneuver. I saw that when it went down. Yeah. I'm like, why do you take N'Keal Harry? And then I saw you had 1-2. I'm like, oh, now I know why.
Yeah. I'm just trying to screw up ADP. If any leagues, and this is what I advocate for everyone to do, just to screw other people, is if you have the 101 and the 102, draft the position player first and then the quarterback at 102. Just for funsies.
That's pretty funny. But all right, so again, we got to kind of wrap everything up. We've been going for a long time here. So we really appreciate everybody that's here. And I know Rich, Katie, JDB, if you guys want to plug anything before you go, go ahead, feel free.
Ladies first.
You can find me on Twitter at FF_Skyler399. I'm on UTH Dynasty podcast. And thanks for having me on. It's been a fun draft. A lot of great discussion. And just love Dynasty Fantasy Football.
Thank you, Katie. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Dynasty Rich, host of the Dynasty Nerds podcast, where I'm just full of magical, ridiculous takes, just as I was given tonight. Please tune in. Tell me how wrong I am. I might even drop my crystal balls on you here and there to get try and predict the future the best of my ability. But that's where I'm at. That's where you can find me. I'll always be there. It's my home.
Thanks, Rich. That's
awesome.
Thanks
for joining.
Thanks, Rich.
And Katie for joining us. That was a good time.
And JDB, I know I said I forgot you were in the room, but do you want to plug anything?
I didn't want to step over everybody. There was a conversation going, so I did the right thing, and I just stepped back and let everybody else talk. On Twitter, at Dibari22, DIBARI22. My
wait, we lost
I'm
you.
Sorry, what happened?
Wait, John, we lost you. Do it again.
Right when you said the important part of where to find you.
I know, he's gone.
You can find me at...
Yeah, I don't want people thinking we did that on purpose.
Yeah, he's...
It
shows that he's still in the room, too, but...
You can find John's written work at DynastyLeagueFootball.com.
Correct.
DynastyDari22.
He has the Fantasy 40 podcast, which is actually a lot of fun. Those guys are good. Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That was awesome for everybody that joined us. We really appreciate it.
Hey. I'm at FL2 Drink Minimum, you jerk.
I know, but I thought you were sticking around. I thought you were sticking around in here. Hold on. I thought you were sticking around. So, okay, I'm sorry.
And
so,
at FF_Breakdown, but I'll hang out. That's cool. Yeah,
we got to do a quick patron,
There was a couple people that weren't here for everything, and I thought that my notes here was that you were sticking around, so I apologize. Go ahead and say your plug anyways. Go ahead.
No, I'll do it later. I don't want to now. Thanks for the heads up, madman. Jeez.
Mike doesn't listen to me.
Well, you guys do it. I'm going to get a beer. Cause
okay, that's cool.
Foreign. I need another.
Go for it. And then we'll wrap everything up. Rich, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. All right. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Rich. Thanks, Rich. Man. You take it easy, okay, brother? Thanks.
See you later. And Shane, Shane, why don't me and Jeremy and Fanaro will wrap up the show, and then we'll do whatever it was we were supposed to do. All right, so just like every other mock we've ever tried to do, there was trades. There was people making picks for other people. There was like
blasphemy, anger, arguing, and we didn't do any of it ourselves. It just happened. I mean, it didn't need to be cultured at all.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if you want mock drafts to be realistic, you should allow for trading. That's the problem with rookie mock drafts is you're always like, oh, well, I'm basing this rookie draft off of nothing. Like, you know,
you're going to have to pick this guy.
If you have a team, it does skew your thinking as much as you'd like to say, I don't draft for need.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, you had left the room, but a couple of things we had talked about, and even Kevin Cotillo brought that up about that we're making picks based on nothing, you know, without knowing what our rosters are. So, I mean, just like everything else, we try to have a good time, and it kind of goes off the rails sometimes and all over the place, but I think it all worked out great. So, check
change
out.
Change it up halfway through.
Now, what do we do? A snake in the middle of the first?
We changed scoring. Decided it was tight end premium at like 106, and then
came off
the
board.
Yeah,
well, you should have read the bylaws. That's all I can tell you.
And
I did not get a show sheet.
All right, wait a second. We're gonna say goodnight to this, and we're gonna do a Patreon thing really quick.
Oh,
so
I can see the board.
I thought
now.
We did that already.
No, that's what we're about to do. But then, all right,
I went and got beers. I'm good.
All right, Finaro, yeah. Tell people where to find you. We didn't get a chance for you.
Yeah, man, I'm Mike Finaro at Aardvark TV and at Rookie Fever.
Awesome. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Check us out on Dynasty Trades HQ on Twitter. Check out our website, DynastyFootballFactory.com. Go over to iTunes, give us a rate and review. And we're going to try to do a Patreon thing really quick. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.
I'm the madman. I'm here all week.
Shane.
I just want to go to bed.
Okay, goodbye.
Why does Q drink frozen like that?